First Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 24. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. He had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, "Please, take one of the servants with you and arise and go look for the donkeys." So he passed through the mountains of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Sha'alim. They were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. And when they had come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father cease caring about the donkeys and become worried about us." And he said to him, "Look now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go." Saul said to his servant, "But look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread in our vessels is all gone. There is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul and said, "Look, I have here a hand 1/4 of a shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, "Come, let us go to the seer." For he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they met some young women going out to draw water, and said to them, "Is the seer here?" And they answered them and said, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to this city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today on the high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. The people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him." And so they went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel coming out toward them on his way to up to the high place. Now Yahweh had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me." So, when Samuel saw Saul, Yahweh said to him, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you, on all your father's house?" When Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak like this to me?" Now Samuel took Saul and his servant, brought them into the hall, and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave you, in which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat. Till this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now the Lord is doing here something that is expected and something that is surprising. The expected thing is he is picking a man like Saul, someone from a family of great power and wealth, someone who is handsome and a head taller than anyone in Israel. The people had cried out and said, give us a king like all the other nations have. And this is exactly the kind of king that in another nation would have been set over them. And the Lord is bringing Saul to be king. And Saul is ultimately not going to be a good king. He is ultimately going to be very jealous for himself and try to increase himself and his house at the cost of hurting and taking from the rest of the people of God, exactly like God had told Samuel to warn the people that the king that he was that he would give them would be. So that's not very surprising. What is surprising, however, is what God is going to do with Saul. God is going to save his people from the hand of the Philistines. And what God says is the reason that he is giving them a king who is a savior. He says in verse 16, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. It is expected and right and just when God gives people what they deserve, but we always see God in the midst of his justice, in the midst of his righteousness, also carrying out his plan for gracious redemption. And there is a small picture of that here in how he's going to deliver the people from the hand of the Philistines. But we must remember that the kingship is going to go from Saul, not to Jonathan, his son, the next one in the house of Kish, that Saul is so focused on already, even when he's trying not to become king, and will be focused on later. But the next person to whom the kingship falls is going to be David. And when David says to God, I want to build you a house, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God will say, no, I will build you a house. And from your house, from your household, from you, David, is going to come the forever king. So the fact that God is answering the people's rejection of him, saying, give us a king, by giving them the non-surprising, the unsurprising kind of king that Saul, son of Kish, would be, head taller from a wealthy house, who ends up being very selfish, etc. But that in the midst of that, he is saving his people from the hand of the Philistines, is a small picture of how God is always bringing about his salvation of those whom he has loved before the world began in Jesus Christ. So even when he is righteously judging nations, and churches, and households, and bringing punishment into the lives of unbelievers to warn them of wrath, bringing discipline into the lives of believers to turn them more and more from their sins. Even as God is doing all those things, he is always, 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 always carrying out his plan of redemption to bring Christ into the world and to bring the elect to faith in Christ, and to give them all that he has desired in Christ. What that means for you is that whatever you see on the news, whether it's coronavirus or government tyranny or economic disaster or China trying to increase its position and take over the world or riots in which men of violence and greed and anger attack those who are peaceful, or whatever it is that you see on the news, and whatever it is that you see in your daily life, whether it's not getting invited to the game that you wanted to get to, or worrying that all the sausage is going to run out at breakfast before you get to eat some of the sausage, or whatever it is. Everything that God is doing in all of the events in history and all of the tiny little events in your life involve and are one of the things that he is doing in all of them, especially, is bringing to faith in Jesus Christ, bringing salvation through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, to those whom he has loved. He was doing that in the wild goose chase, of the tame donkey chase of Saul and his servant. He was doing that in it being the time of day to go draw water. Saul and his servant didn't know what they were going to end up doing when they took off 3 days ago looking for those donkeys. The ladies who were going down the hill to draw water may not even have lived to know that their account would be written and that they would be one of the means by which Saul got pointed to Samuel. The whole interaction at the city gate is very amusing because Saul comes up to Samuel himself and says, "Can you tell me how to get to your house?" But he doesn't say your house because he doesn't know it's he. "Can you tell me how to get to the prophet's house, the seer's house?" And Samuel says, "Well, I just happen to be the guy that you're looking for. But you're not going to my house. You're going up to the high place. Here are the directions." One of the themes in the chapter is that in the ordinary course of their lives, there are all these people that don't know what is actually going on. The cook has no idea that he has just prepared an upper thigh portion of the sacrifice for the soon-to-be king of Israel. All he knows is that the prophet kept a chunk of the meat from the sacrifice and said, "Keep this back until I tell you, and make sure you do a good job of it. I'm going to give it to somebody." Nobody knows what's going on except Samuel, whom God told in his ear. It's a very vivid picture, isn't it, of the special and privileged information that God gave to his prophet. But who else knows? As we read this in family worship, who else knows who Saul is? Who else knows what is going to happen to him? Who else knows that David is going to be the next king, and from David will come Jesus? You're raising your hand to say God, but raising your hand is actually... No, not a Sophia question this time. Us.
She raised her hand and said, "Me."
Me? Okay. Well, she got it right, even though it wasn't a Sophia question. We know. The Saul and his servant don't know. The villager ladies don't know. The cooks don't know. But just like Samuel, into whose ear Yahweh spoke to tell him what he was doing, isn't the Lord telling us what he's doing here? Isn't that the point of the book of 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel chapter 9? Don't you see what he's saying? It's like when Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. And John had the unfortunate experience of being the one who was right next to me as I breathed out those words, and he could feel them. And you see a picture of that when it says, Yahweh had told Samuel into his ear. God comes to us in family worship and says into our ears, as it were, in all of the ordinary courses of life, in all of the rising and falling of Israelite and Philistine nations in America and China and everything that goes on, from the great to the small, God is bringing the salvation that he has intended in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that as you trust him and serve him in what you have got to do the rest of this morning and this afternoon, you know that one of the things he is doing And everything else that he is doing is bringing his salvation to you in Christ. Not just that you would be forgiven for Jesus' sake, but that you would be made like Christ, that he would grow you in holiness, that ultimately at the last, he would perfect you in your soul, resurrect you in your body, and you, body and soul, for unending ages, will be perfectly holy and perfectly happy. And that's what God is doing. And he comes to us in family worship like he comes to Saul the day before. Sorry, not Saul, but Samuel the day before. And he whispers in our ear so that we will have inside information and be able to conduct ourselves more faithfully, because he's told us the great thing that he's up to and all of these other small things that he's up to. God, help us to trust him and to operate more faithfully in cooperation, since we know that that's what he's doing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word, 1 Samuel chapter 9. We thank you for the way that whenever we come to you in your word, you are, as it were, telling us in our ears by your words what you are up to, and you are shaping the way that we would see the events of the day and respond to you in them, knowing what you are doing for us in them because of Christ. We pray that you would strengthen our hearts, gladden our hearts, knowing your redeeming work and purposes in everything that you do. And grant to us then to walk with you and honor you, to do all of our activities as unto the glory of your name, to always be seeking how you may be sanctifying us and using us to bring others to faith and to build them up in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that this is the great work that you are about in all of every part of our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and your children here say, Amen.
Amen.